hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay here again on Patriot Street Fighter. Broadcasting through Rumble and also American Media Periscope and all their platforms. It's 17th of March today. I have a very special guest on today, and this is a guest that you're going to want to hear from, because the warning bells that I've been sounding for probably 20 years and at a much higher pitch in the last 3 to 4 years, you're going to see or hear the culmination of everything's built up into me in historical research and watching the evolution of this country march its way right to the edge of the abyss. Now today, you're going to hear from somebody that had lived through exactly where we're headed. You've got a Holocaust survivor here in Vera Shirov, a human rights activist, a documentary filmmaker, and somebody who lived through the horrors of a time and era where people saw unfolding in their world exactly what we've been seeing today. And what did they do? They acquiesced to all of it and marched right into servitude, bondage, and a murder machine like the world has never seen. And all around us, we have the same thing happening, and the same thing's repeating itself. We're sounding the warning bells to try to get people to wake the hell up, because we don't need to repeat what we've seen already, and we have no excuse to, given the history we've learned in our lives. So I want to introduce you to Vera Shirov, heroic in this movement, because she has the credibility of watching this nightmare thrust upon her entire family and her world to absolute murder and destruction. Vera, what a pleasure it is to have you here on Patriot Street Fighter today. And here we are all these years later after this nightmare that you survived. And here you are, your own personal war machine, like obviously boundless energy. You're still going. You're still going.
Well, you know, these last 3 years brought me to a conclusion that I had not really accepted all the years before, and as well other Holocaust survivors, and that is that our survival has some meaning. We have a duty. We have a duty because we may be the last of the generation who remembers.
Yes.
The memory is being buried. And it's being repackaged to fit the current agenda. And in addition to remembering, we have, few of us have taken it on. We have a duty to raise the alarm, to warn. That is our duty, because we know where it leads. And today, I have to say, this isn't 100% exactly the way it was then, because they didn't have the technology.
Right.
It was sort of much more brutal, in your face. Today, it's remote click-click is what they're after.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they have prepared essentially digital concentration camps.
Yes.
They call it smart cities. You know, sounds benign, right? Uh-uh. That is a total surveillance operation. You go into that grid. You give in and get your digital ID.
Digital currency.
Become a slave. That's it. And this time, I have to say, no, this time, there will be no place to hide.
Yeah.
No attics, no basements, no straw, in farms, some people survived, they hid in big straw mounds. There'll be none of that because the surveillance will survey you 24 hours a day.
And there's no foreign power coming in to save us this time.
Oh, no.
That is all over. And in fact, you know, the central bank digital currency is something that's real simple. You don't want a behavior going to starve you out. I want to draw a contrast between what it looked like back in your day and what it is today. Because yeah, they're using technology to, it's kind of, I've described this here a couple of times and I can't remember what country, but there's a very elusive creature, a hog or something that you could almost never see, but to trap them in this country, there's a way to get them. They feed these animals in, and then one day they go build, say, a 10-foot fence. And this creature will disappear for a week or two. They keep putting feed out. Eventually, it'll come in, feed for a while, and when they're not there, they'll do it again, put another side of the fence in. Same behaviors, same habits. They'll wait for a while because things change. They feed them back in and they get comfortable, come in. They put the third side of the fence. And then the last stage is they put in the fourth side, closing the box with an entry gate into it. And of course, as they become comfortable over time, coming back in, walk into the fence, and they're feeding for a while, then they've got a trip door on the fence. Boom, they're all in. And now they got them and they can kill them all. So let's talk about how, and that's what's happening today. It's that subtle, it's that evasive, it's that that sort of unseen operation to do the same thing today. In your day, it was different. Let's talk about that. When you were little, how old were you when this thing openly began where people could clearly see what was happening? What age were you? What do you remember seeing at that time where things all of a sudden were changing in a bad way?
I was three and a half. And, you know, a lot of people say they don't remember things from that young. I do. I remember a lot. And, of course, the most vivid thing I remember is that we were evicted from our home.
Jesus.
Had to wear a yellow star. Were chased out, really. And then deported. And we were deported from Romania to a concentration camp in Ukraine.
God.
And it was at night, remember that. And, you know, it was we didn't go by train. We went on a little boat. It's a kind of boat, you know, everybody stood, standing room only, but it's really just a little bigger than a rowboat, but, you know, I don't know how many people were on it. But it started to kind of tilt. There was a problem there, overload. And what I remember is my father took off his winter coat and let it fall into the river. And it was winter. And when he died, I don't know exactly how many months later, I attributed it that he got sick because he took off his coat. And I felt guilty. I felt guilty because I clung to my little toy. And I thought how selfish I was. He took off his, you know, life-saving winter coat and I didn't give up my toy. So I had that sort of, you know, in my conscience, which is obviously, you know, ridiculous, but but I observed a lot of things. And the main thing, now the concentration camp that we were in was not one of these militarized orderly things. They did not put numbers on us. It was a transit camp, really. At some point, we were supposed to be gassed, but not in this place. This was totally, nothing was given, nothing was taken. You were just left to starve.
Really?
Yeah. And starvation and infectious disease was rampant, of course. There was no hygienic facilities whatsoever. And people, you know, one of the things that I learned is when people are under this kind of stress, both sides behave very badly. People don't realize, and maybe a little bit they got to realize during these lockdowns where some people were snitching on other people that they were walking out too far, or they were without a mask, or, you know, all these transgressions of nonsense.
They put masks on you back then?
You were with your Yellow Star, which by then it didn't really matter that much. Although, now one of the things, my mother sold off one after another of her pieces of clothing. And I remember actually seeing it on some German women who were friends of the, you know, soldiers kind of thing. You know, you always have that also. You've got the women following with the occupiers. So, I mean, what I do remember also, there was great fear. People were afraid because every so often there were lists. And if you were put on that list, it was either for slave labor or death. So this was always, again, this was a constant terror.
So when you were on that boat that night, was it you, your mother and father, or do you have siblings that was with you?
No, I didn't. I was an only child.
Okay. So then when they put you into this area, was it a fenced in open area with no facilities at all?
No facilities.
So people just had.
But there were, it was kind of like, you know, we have to understand there were some 42,000 actually, camps of all kinds, all throughout Europe. And some of them were within, you know, just within the community, really, a sparsely populated community. But, you know, it was like that. You had, you know, farmers, Ukrainian farmers, who would have their farmer market day, and all we could do is smell the stuff, not, you know, not having. The big thing was to get some potato peels and roast them. In other words, the leftover from what the farmers were eating. Starvation is something that it has many, many degrading aspects to it. It's painful, very painful. And of course, psychologically, what it does to you. And yeah, it undermines your health, you know. I didn't grow during the 3 years that I was in the camp. I left the camp wearing the same coat that I went in.
So your father died a few months after the boat ride.
It was within the first year for sure, but it was, you know, it was so, yeah. And I attribute it because he didn't have a coat.
So you're little, all right, you're 3 and a half, 4 years old, whatever, and now four, and you're watching your father starve to death.
Yeah, and I watched him in delirium. You know, he had very high fever. And one of the things that he was talking about was he was promising that we would be going to Israel. Mm-hmm. I remember that very vividly. Mm. You know, it was too late. There, unfortunately, the Jews of Eastern Europe, and certainly Western Europe, didn't listen to those emissaries who came, you know, who went throughout Eastern Europe and told the Jews to get out. It's going to burn. You know, there are always some people who see things before the rest of us, who recognize signs, who put 2 and 2 and 3 and 4 together. But people didn't believe. People didn't believe Hitler's raving. Mm-hmm. They didn't believe what he wrote in Mein Kampf. Only he did mean it. And of course, what we didn't know, and to this day it has remained sort of undercover, was really who his facilitators were, who his corporate
the bank
and family dynasty enablers were, who profiteered from those slave labor camps.
Exactly. You look in this in the United States here. First of all, of course, you got the Rothschild central bankers. You have the royal families, of course. These people, in fact, most people don't know that the royal family and the crown family in England, Great Britain, they're Nazis. They're Germans. It's a total cover. It's an infiltration. The whole quote unquote wins. I forget what their official German bloodline name is, but they're Germans. They're Nazis. Yep. Total cover. You've got Colgate here in the United States supplying the gas or compounds to make the gas. They're gassing people. You have Henry Ford. Ford actually
the tanks, on the manufacturing everything.
Side of the tanks. You've got Rockefeller supplying them oil, and you've got the Bush family, Prescott Bush and his bankers funding the war machine.
Absolutely.
So right here in our own country, we have these Khazarian mobsters, these Nazis inside, who are still here today. The families are still here today. Look what we had with the Bush family. H.W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, came from Germany, was actually a German Navy sailor in Germany. When he's young, they infiltrate him over here. First, he's adopted by the Prescott family from the Scherf family to cover the family name, as they do. And then he ends up over here in the United States Navy. And here you got, you know, who became the leader of the Fourth Reich, Nazis here in the United States. And like you said, people like me today and others are out here warning this country's people and population, wake the hell up, just like they did back in the day you're describing. And people didn't believe that there's brutality in this satanic spirit that runs this world, that they'll actually do this. And you saw it, lived through it, and people refused to listen, just like it's happening again today.
Yeah, no, people didn't. And this is very, very, very troubling. Part of it is, I'll tell you, you know, the way they discount us, conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. Theory? I wish it was a theory. I wish maybe I would be raving mad. I wasn't always, but now I cannot sit back. And, you know, when I came to this country, by then I was 10 and a half, in January 1948. And I looked around, and that whole first year, I was so angry. I kept thinking, where was everybody? Where was everybody? Because, you know, New York was quite glamorous after the war and all that, you know? And I was just, where was everybody while I was in hell? Well, you know, I mean, we know that things happen in one part of the world and the other part doesn't know anything about it. But now it really, all these years have been a preparation, from what I could tell now. They've been a preparation for this now technocracy. Now, you know, it'll be the technocrats. Those who, you know, like the ones who formulated these projections about what COVID would do. Everything was wrong. All those projections, you know, we're totally wrong.
Lies.
But yet they're called experts. And we're supposed to listen to the experts. Mm-hmm. And it's all a lie, all trying to blind you to what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems, I think, is that it's very difficult for most people to comprehend that there are evil, real evil people. They can't imagine it. They can't imagine to this day the public health officials who are urging mothers to take their children to get jabs one after another, after four they want it.
Yeah.
They can't imagine that they mean to kill them. It's just a matter of how long it'll take. But that's what it is. These are weapons. These are biological weapons. They've been developed through this program that is masquerading as gain of function, meaning nothing, right? Except that's bioweapon warfare stuff. That's what that whole industry is about.
All these things, and they actually do, not only violate the U.S. laws, Geneva Convention, U.N. laws, they're the ones that made these laws, right? And then they just violate them. And why do they make them then? As a cover. They make these laws and tell the whole world that this, we're not going to allow this. It's a cover. And then they go ahead and do these same things because we in our mind will think, I'm not worried about this. They got this. They got laws against it. And the point that I like to make on this acquiescence in our culture, in our nation, basically in the world is this. It's, and I've said this many times, you know, the life of Christ, the life that Christ lived here. I became a born again Christian at 14 years old. I'm more connected spiritually than I have ever been. And it isn't because I sit in a church and I have wonderful friends that have very powerful messages of pastors. But I came to a conclusion after my studies of divinity for 20 years that something's missing here. I couldn't quite figure it out. And I went in a different pathway. Quantum physics became my secondary Bible, metaphysics, epistemology, philosophy. Same type of things that Christ was studying for 17 years, roaming through Iraq, India, Tibet, studying with Buddhists, monks, shamans, people of high consciousness. And here's the thing. The thing of it is, as we just happen to believe that, well, you know, I got my Bible. I got mine since I was 12 years old. My grandmother gave it to me from the book factory that she made, where she had it all stamped. I still have it, right? But here's the thing. Just like we're taught, as Christ said, take a hit, just turn the other cheek. Get hit again, turn the other cheek. Well, how do you rectify the fact that Christ went into the temple? He didn't just go upset the money changers' tables, beat the shit out of them. He destroyed what they had going on, kicked their asses, tossed them out, because there comes a time when you have to look in the eye of the devil and you have to go to war. You've got to fight this thing head on. We just sit back. Many of us Christians in this world just sit back. Oh, I need to be a pacifist. A pacifist. Let's bring out some of the kids from the, in fact, the same thing that's what happened to you guys in those camps. It never stopped. They just went underground. Now they're just trafficking 8 million kids a year that they're stealing from families, putting them in this butcher machine, rape, torture, murder, cannibalism, all of it, the most horrible things. And the reason I like to get down into the emotional side of it, like I ask you, there's no facilities to go to the bathroom. So people are defecating in front of each other in the open, peeing in front of the open, exposing themselves. Until people get this, it's seared in their head what that is actually like, they'll never get the understanding of the horror of this kind of a situation. So you're right. People go on about their merry way in New York City. Look, the Jewish people in this country who stood by knowing that their own people were being butchered, gassed, starved to death, and in America they sat back and did virtually nothing. How the hell is that even possible? It's possible because there's so many people in this country today, because it is not their child at 4 months old being raped by animals at 4 months old. It's not my child. So they just, man, I don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me, right? I don't have any children. But when I got to the point, Vera, when I walked away from the world of elective politics after 16 years, my dream of becoming a U.S. senator to go fight the same scumbags that are there today went away because I realized it's a crime syndicate. There's nothing I can do. So I walk away and I get to the point to learn that what's happened to you and your family is what's going on with children in these underground tunnels. That's when I blew the gasket. I'm like, I'm not going to live on this planet knowing that this exists without going to war to wake people up to go eliminate these satanic murders from the planet. I don't get it. That's why I like to hear the depths of your story, because people they don't get to hear the emotional side, like Kathy O'Brien's story. When I talk to Kathy to try to bring out the minutia, she kind of glosses over it. And I'm thinking, Scott, go watch her movie, trance.movie, T-R-A-N-C-E.movie. go watch it. Listen to the story from that perspective when she says, here's what happened. And it's horrifying. Same with you. If we knew that, saw that, it would be so horrifying. Maybe we'd wake the hell up.
You know, one of the problems really is that the educational system was totally hijacked, and it's a long time. It was hijacked in a sense that people in schools are being conditioned to accept an official narrative, not to think for themselves, not to trust their own judgment.
Exactly.
And that's the difference between people and animals. We have that ability, but also the responsibility to make our own judgment, to make choices. Now, by not making choice, you are making a choice. You're giving your God-given right to somebody else to make decisions for you. How the heck did people get to that point? Well, they've been conditioned throughout the schooling, which is always to trust authorities' interpretation of things rather than think for yourself. And I guess that's, you know, for a long time, I wasn't, you know, a rabble rouser, but there were points in my life where I had to be. And that led me to now digging up the initial past, and to realize the only thing that gives this global Kabbalah, now it's totally global, is obedience. That's what gives them the power. They have no other power. That their wealth and all that, which is all stolen from all of us, that can be gotten back. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is that people continue to say, yes, sir, aye, aye, sir, anything you say.
Yes.
That's the problem.
You know, that,
and that was the problem then too.
And that's, you know what, that brings up a point. My friends and I, I lived in Southern California, Los Angeles, and most of my clientele in the fitness industry, wellness industry back then, the vast majority were Jewish Democrats, right? Jewish Democrats. So we always had these discussions. How is it that the Jewish people, knowing in many cases, that's a gas chamber, and get in line and walk in? We were like,
you really have to look at the betrayal was by the institutions, and just as it is now. Institutions can be bought. Institutions can be directed by those who they depend on. And at that time, a lot of the Jewish institutions were kind of going by the let's not rock the boat, because then it could happen here. They were being constantly told, you know, that if they march on Washington, if they demand that the railways to Auschwitz would be bombed, that they would create anti-Semitism. See, anti-Semitism is raised then as a weapon, instead of dealing with it head on. I can deal with an anti-Semite, you know. But no, they avoid. Thing is to avoid a confrontation. Well, in the meantime, what was happening there was already happening. The New York Times was hiding it on page 38. The Associated Press, certainly not a Jewish organ, guess what? They were totally doing the Nazi propaganda. They were the only ones who were allowed to remain and to report from Germany. And what they reported was exactly the Nazi line. And they even showed the Nazis in their, you know, heroic kind of, you know, with the uniforms and the whole bit, you know, and if you remember movies of the period also, actually, you know, make the Nazis look like heroic, you know, right, with their black boots and all of that, that became, you know, the rage. And Jews were shown in their most, you know,
heightened state.
Horrible, They made them. Yeah. So this was, that kind of propaganda was quite rampant. And you had the media then, after what does it mean, Associated Press? They provide the stories for all the other newspapers. So that's how you spread the poison. You spread the propaganda. And that's what was going on then, and that's what's going on now. And now it's even more concentrated. You know, during the 40s, during the 30s, you had some, I don't remember how many news outlets throughout the country. Every little village had its own newspaper. Mm-hmm. We don't have that now. You've got five, that's it. You've got five news outlets, and they're all reading the same script.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing is, though, and this is where I fault, and this is everybody, all groups, by the way, this time they have bought off every Christian denomination. I hear, you know, the black churches, everything. They bought everybody off before they launched the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the fact that you couldn't go into a church, you couldn't go into a synagogue, you couldn't go to a Holocaust memorial if you didn't have the evidence, the green passport. That's
same thing today. Yeah, the same thing. Your COVID, it's the exact same game plan. You know, and I, it's kind of endearing. You said, I never saw myself as a rabble rouser. That's a term, you know, that comes from, you know, generations past. So we've rebranded you. You're not a rabble rouser now. You're called a badass. That's how it is now. It's like, she's badass because you're willing to take the war right to their faces. Here's the thing that people don't understand, Vera. This time, it's over. This is permanent. Yeah. They capture us this time. And like you said, digital prisons, they're not going to ship you off. They're just going to put you in a position where now, because of technology, digitally, you don't behave. They shut off your banking system. They shut off your ability to get food. They shut off everything. They just shut it off.
Exactly. Now,
yeah. And so, and if you try to get into a barter system, yeah, that might work for a little while, but they're going to catch up with that too. And this is why what is so stunning to me is that, as I've said for the last 3 years, folks, you got, you know, everybody's afraid that I might, you know, I might get hurt. I might die or whatever. I'm like, everybody's going to die sometime, right? If you, we have so much faith in our creator and we know death is a natural evolution. Would you not rather die for something than die for nothing? And that's me. Now I can be cavalier like this because I don't have, you know, I've had a certain type of lifestyle because I saw this coming a long time ago where they can't use my wife against me or my kids because they don't exist in my world. So with that being said, those anchors, I totally understand how people acquiesce, but this is a time where even parents have to show their own kids what it means to be, number one, a patriot, to be a parent who will protect at all costs. It's kind of like what people are doing right now. I'm just going to hang back because that's like paying the cannibals to eat you last. You're going to get gone either way. And because we outnumber these people by the billions, we proved it with COVID. It's right here at this desk. When I saw this coming, Vera, and I was like, I don't care what they say. I'm not going to be muzzled with a fork and mask over a lie that I could see. And yes, I had to battle people in the streets, just like they wouldn't really get offensive to me in public like some, but I carry a firearm right in their face. So most people's like, I don't want to take the chance. But many times I had that conflict. I'm like, you idiots want to wear these masks and get on your knees and lick the palms of somebody else. You go right ahead. No problem. But don't think you're going to force me. And because I just pounded every day from this camera out in public, anybody came at me with that bullshit, I dropped the hammer on them right there to make them like, and it, what we have to do, because this is, the people are 10 times more asleep now. You got to bring a shock and awe campaign against this thing to wake the people the hell up. If my mother was alive today, I couldn't look her in the face because she'd hear my language publicly in front of the world. But at the same time, I can say I tried this the statesman diplomatic way, my language, how I communicated for decades. Nobody ever listened. When I blew a gasket and I got to become this whole other person, guess what? Now we're getting somewhere. And I don't like to be that, but you have to make a choice.
I understand. You have to do what you have to do. And each one of us has to do it, in their own voice. But I do really urge, one of the things, the documentary that I did, Never Again Is Now Global, which runs 5 parts, and it looks like I'm going to have to do another part because there are more people, and there aren't many people of this generation, who are going to be around much longer. So I've got to rush to get additional testimonies because it's important for people to listen to, the elder statesmen who aren't statesmen, but to see and recognize what's going on and have been through a lot, each one very different. It's very important. Part of it is that history is not taught, It's all everything is technology. Science and technology took the center stage of all the, all higher learning. And as a result, most people are totally ignorant about history, the evolvement of certain things in history, the perpetrators, they know nothing. And they're never taught about eugenics. Now, we really need to talk about the real virus. It's got nothing to do with something in the air. It's got to do with an ideology that pretends. It's cast as a science, but it's no science to it whatsoever. What this ideology is about, it leads to genocide because it places a value on people's lives. Different people, different folks have different value. And right now, you have the devaluation, for example, disabled people. Mm-hmm. Hospitals, many more disabled died from COVID and it has nothing to do with their disability. One of the testimonies in the documentary is Scott Sharrow, who is a father of a daughter who had Down syndrome. She was 19 years old. And as he now regrets, he took her to the hospital because her oxygen level was a little bit low. Well, they finished her off and he's got the evidence. It's all documented. The point is, though, this is the protocol that was followed is being followed with a lot of disabled people. They want to get rid of them. They're an economic burden.
Yes.
Now, there was an exact parallel in Nazi Germany. And really, the very first medical murder victim were not Jews. They were German infants and young children under the age of 3. They were disabled in some way. And then it regressed, then it went to children of all ages who were disabled, then the mentally ill, and then the nursing home residents. They got rid of all of these because they grouped all of these people, all these human beings, as worthless eaters. That's what they called them. Unfit for life. So their idea was to cleanse the genetic pool, the Aryan genetic pool, from disabled, as if you can prevent disability by the genetic pool. Doesn't work that way. Real science doesn't work that way. But that was their fantasy, that they could control the genetic pool. Okay. So today, eugenics never went away. You see, people think that with the Nazis losing the war, eugenics had a bad name. But guess what? It's alive and thriving in public health. Public health policies today are very much influenced by eugenics. And so now you've got, of course, abortion, but you've got much more than that. And these shots have hit the fertility both of men and women.
You know, 80% of the women who got the vaccine, this came from Dr. Artis's research, 80% of them turned into miscarriages. Look at the fertility now that we have with this. The miscarriages went up 4,000%. And it's like, I think it was Dr. Christiane Northrup was telling me on a show a couple of weeks ago, and Roseanne Barr, as provocative she is, and she's coming right out and saying it on the comedy stage. All you people that are, what she say, worried about, maybe it might have been a
sexual crisis, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're taking it away.
Yeah, the abortion issues. You have nothing to worry about. If you got the vaccine, you're never going to have a baby, right? Right into their faces. So,
look, that's just it. You see, the evidence is there. The whole thing is, the whole official narrative is falling apart. So now the latest, by the way, did you hear? Now it's some kind of a dog. We're moving from the bat. Now it's a dog.
Oh, a dog.
A dog in Wuhan in the, in the market. And that's where it came from. How's that? I mean, you know, they, and who carries this nonsense? The New York Times and the Nation, the Atlantic, excuse me, the Nation, I don't think has done it yet. But these are, in other words, the official organs are delivering this nonsense, trying to take away the focus on those who really did create the virus and launched it. I mean, it didn't escape by itself either.
Right. And you know this, I know this, a lot of our audience knows this, that's kind of why they're here. But the amazing thing is that you have these people that have taken this kill shot and multiple follow-up kill shots. Some even gotten sick, and they still don't see that these bodies are piling up. I watched Jeff Brain, CEO of Cloud Hub, founder of Cloud Hub. He uses Died Suddenly, the title that Stu Peters' film is.
Yeah.
It's like every day.
Oh yeah.
I'm on Cloud Hub. Here's another known person dead. Well, one yesterday was a trainer for one of the XFL football teams, mid 20s, dead. And just keeps going down through numerous athletes, like every day, dead, died suddenly.
And doctors. You know, 132 doctors in Canada, just like that. One really? After the other kind.
And I said, when they start stacking bodies like firewood, people are going to wake up. And you know what, Vera? They're still not waking. These people are still not waking up.
They're
not seeing
it. They're hiding it. You know, they're hiding.
That's true. They are hiding it. So,
you know, the trouble is that they have, you know, I talked before about buying out religious institutions. Well, of course, the main thing is the medical establishment. And that's exactly what happened in Nazi Germany. The medical establishment was totally and completely culpable that more doctors were members of the Nazi Party than any other profession. They totally aided, abetted, and created the protocols for genocide. That's what they did. And that's what they did now too.
Yeah.
How is it that every medical specialty, you know, is hounding doctors who actually explain how you can treat early COVID and survive without a problem? Mm-hmm. They don't want you to survive. And medical boards are delicensing doctors.
Mm-hmm.
A very good friend of mine, Dr. Meryl Nass, is up on that name. I mean, this is outrageous. Dictated medicine, government dictated medicine, is a window to genocide. There's no other reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the medical establishment has not learned anything from the Nazi period, from the Nazi doctor's trial at Nuremberg, I'm sorry, they have no excuse. Some people who don't know, well, they haven't learned it, okay. But the medical establishment, totally ignorant about how things led up and wound up where they did, you know? I mean, the slaughter is something that they... And now they actually have said they want to eliminate most of the human species.
That's, yeah, I mean, they put it in public for many, many years. Georgia Guidestones, get it down to 500 million. It's in our face. I mean, it's just so in our face.
It's a diabolical plan. This is very, very diabolical. And they think that the horrors, they think they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. And the only way they could get away with it is people obey and march into those camps.
Yep. I've said many times here that people are going to, they're going to fight this one. They're going to fight everybody. And they're going to fight by choice or they're going to fight by force. Either way, people are going to get into this fight one way or another, because especially in this country, as I said numerous times here, there's a difference this time. We send soldiers overseas to defend freedom and democracy, which we're not a democracy, we're a republic. And they'll do that and they wage vicious war against an assumed enemy that the politicians name and the commanders, generals will then carry out the mission. There's a difference here, though. In America, they've never fought Americans right here on this soil with their house right behind them, with their family right there in the yard right behind them. It becomes more of a vicious battle. And those people that come in the way that they know they can't defeat us, which is offensively, kinetically, they're doing all the things of this. I'm just going to call it the Romanian hog. I don't even know what this hog is. They're using that tactic of fencing us in, as you said, digitally. I never thought about that. It's a prison camp digitally. And either way, the people are going to fight. They're going to have to. It's like, because when they clearly see they're going to be eliminated, they're going to do something, especially if they have kids, because that's what will usually raise the temperature in somebody to take an action that they're fearful of. But their greatest weapon that they have over all of us, Vera, is fear. It's fear. We hang on. Is life so precious and so worth living on your knees, being virtually your spirit beaten out of you? Is life that precious? It sure as hell isn't to me. I'd rather let them take this wreckage and go ahead and I'm moving off. I mean, it's something I don't understand about our spiritual side. We all believe that there is a higher ascension path. Some people just think it's heaven, gold, streets, you're parked there. I don't buy into that. I buy into the constant ascension process, you know, because the spirit never goes away. And so, you know, why would I hang on to this? It's like, okay, release me. Let me go to the next level, whatever. But we will fight to hang on to it. You know why? Because even that side, the Catholic Church, Constantine, hijacking, in a way, Christianity, and then fabricating so many things about Christ's life. And I've heard it in business. Like, this is, you need to deliver now. You need to get moving now. Life's not a dress rehearsal. This is the show. I'm like, that's bullshit. This is not the show. All of this life is a dress rehearsal. Why? It's the experience we go through to try to learn and spiritually evolve higher. When this one's done, the curtain's pulled. Guess what? We got rehearsal tomorrow, right? I die, curtain's pulled. Guess what? Tomorrow's rehearsal. I'm going to go. If the spirit, it's a dichotomy. The spirit never dies. It lives forever. But no, you die. It's over. Like, wait a minute. Which is it? And that's, it's called religion. I said this, I had Pastor Dave Scarlett on the other day. And he thinks the same way I do. Religion's the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity because it programs.
Organized religion.
Yeah, no, religion's one thing. Look.
Everybody can have their own belief, and that's fine.
Spirituality and religion are two different things. Right. I could care less about religion. I care about spirituality. My religion is a Harley Davidson. When I'm on that bike, that's my best prayer time. If I say that's my church, that's blasphemy. Say what you want. I am focused on connecting with my creator to raise higher and higher as a spirit to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish. But you can have every religion on this planet right now, 1,000 years away, they're gone. There's all new names, all new dialects, all new philosophies. There's your religion again, doing what? Opposition, banging away at each other. It's like, it doesn't unify.
People don't realize that no war is really about people's beliefs. It's about money.
That's true.
It's about profit.
Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do, really. They use differences as an excuse.
Exactly.
To sell a war, but really nothing. What the heck are we doing in Ukraine? Here's an example.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
instead of trying to make peace with Russia, which is what we need to be doing, we're facilitating and kind of goading them to start with Adam. I mean, nobody in their right mind would do that, because if it goes down a nuclear path, the entire Earth will be uninhabitable.
Which is what they want. Which is what the elites want.
But they won't either. They don't you see, they too have to breathe the air.
No, they will. Oh, no. That's the misconception people have. That's why they have spent quadrillions of dollars of our money.
I know, to go up there.
Underground, the entire architecture underneath the surface of this planet.
You know what? It's not a livable thing. You know, you can do it for a week, a month, but they can't be sure, you see, that whenever they stick their heads out again, that the cloud with all that isn't going to be there. And no, I don't think they want to take that chance, really. They want to see what happens to us if you know. They also, listen, these are megalomaniacs. They're deluded by their sense of power. Mm. They really are. They think that they are gods. They say so.
They do.
That's why it's in one way it's a diabolical joke on them in the end. Mm-hmm. And we have to win it. And really, we just have to have people wake up and say, I'm not into this anymore. Enough. I want my freedom, which is what I'm entitled to, really.
Well, you know, no is a very powerful word. If people are not willing to back up one inch, and that's what I've been saying for 3 years, don't give one inch of ground, not one single millimeter, not one, under any circumstances through all this bullshit, not one step backwards. Because once they get you to step backwards one time, I know I can get you to step back again. Why? Because mine has already went psychologically in that direction. And I said, man, when they try to get me to back up one inch, I'm going to step forward three steps. I'm going to keep taking ground every day, philosophically, in every action of my life. I do not give up one inch of ground. If I've been in stores when this mask BS came up, you got to leave the store. No problem. See you later. And then I'm going to another store. But the whole way through, I just walked into Vera, every single store I went into, like everybody was maskless. I was the only one.
I know.
Airports everywhere. I'm just going to go about my business. And that's it. And it's a powerful thing, because I hardly ever ran into a problem. I hardly ever ran into a problem. And then when I did, I was like, I got an irrevocable national medical. I'm like, what the hell is that? I don't know. I just made it up. But I have an irrevocable national medical, and I just keep on walking. I'm not going to do it. If you want to say something so stupid to me, like you need to have your mask on, then I'm going to say something stupid back. I have a national irrevocable medical, and I just walk away. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. So all in all, we have so much power as a human. Power. And it's almost like a Jedi mind trick. When you say these things to them, you look right at them. It's like a tracker beam. Like, they don't know what to do.
Well, it is really very disheartening that people, the vast majority, just put their heads down and what anything you say. No, it's very sad that people don't understand the value of freedom.
Yeah.
Everything depends on it. You cannot, to be a slave is really, it's both demeaning, humiliating, and it takes away your life force, really. It just diminishes you completely. And as we see now, I mean, they don't have bayonets at anybody's neck. That's one difference from then. Then they had to use, you know, physical brutality. Mm-hmm. Now they just really do count on being able to close your bank account. And if people don't believe it, just take a look at the footage from the Canadian truckers. That's exactly what Trudeau did. It was a sign. We can do that to you if you misbehave. Mm-hmm. And who the heck is he or his rotten administration to say what good behavior is?
Yeah. Well, you're a living testament. It's it's remarkable to me that, you know, you have this long history, you not just seen it, you've lived through it. And then here you are, and you're still going. You're 3.5 back then. So you've got to be like 55 or 60 right now. And here you just keep hammering.
A little more.
I said, the greatest thing about this whole battle, Vera, is this. And it's evident. Nobody has pushed up against this narrative from the Patriot Street Fighter platform. The badasses in this war, in this country, have been the women. The women have come out swinging on all the mama bears going after the school board. The most active force in this country has been the women. And I'm like, where in the hell are the men? And, you know, we
can't. Emasculated. No, true.
Yeah, emasculated. But, you know, the good thing is now I've hammered away on them for 2.5 years now. Like, at least get out there and protect your women who are taking the fight to the enemy. And I can tell you a lot of guys are. They're like, you know what? And it's kind of, you know, it's like putting the gas back in their tank to remind them of what they are. I mean, the male is a defensive war machine. When anything gets here, it's offspring, you know, or it's love or it's offspring. That once they put that in motion, get out the door, and then they start looking around like, yeah, I am not gonna participate or allow this stuff to come, you know, upon my family's doorstep. So they are waking up, but it's like that divine feminine.
No, but you're right. They're right. The women also, you know, the homeschooling, take them out of the public schools because of what they are putting into their heads is just sick.
Yeah. You know what? What are people more afraid of if they get caught out in the Yukon? A male grizzly? Or a female. All they're thinking is, please don't let me see a cub, please. Because I'm going to get ripped to shreds. So anyway, well, it's been a great pleasure having you here on Patriot Street Fighter. God bless you for being in this fight, never leaving it, because you're the one that brings the credibility of having seen the wrath of this mentality, of this criminal satanic architecture that's waging this war on humanity.
It's the mentality, really, that is the weapon. That is what feeds, you know, it. They have contempt for us. That's the other part that people don't understand. They didn't abide by the masking and all that nonsense. They were having parties. Mm-hmm. Every one of them, whether it was in the UK or Trudeau, you know, and the Laundry, whatever. It's one of the most expensive restaurants in the world, probably. You know, they were all laughing their way as to how they got everybody else to do their bidding. Yeah. So even for that, people should say, enough, resist.
Well, it's they're coming alive. I mean, thankfully, they're finally coming alive. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Vera Shirov, a heroic Holocaust survivor. And she's also the producer of the film Never Again. By the way, you can look down here in the description box. You can see how you can get the link to go watch that film. I implore you to watch it. And it's been really great having you here today on Patriot Street Fighter. So thanks again for gracing me and making this channel look really good today. Appreciate
you. Thank you for inviting me. And we'll see you at the when we win. Okay, at the victory march.
Yeah, we'll see you in victory circle. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on Patriot Street Fighter today. Patriot Street Fighter out. Hi, I'm Scott McKay. Most people know me for the podcast Patriot Street Fighter, the information warfare machine going after the worst of the worst in this country, big tech CEOs, politicians in DC, state houses, mayors, anybody who's basically working against humanity. Over the last couple of years, we've built a global following in what we do here, and it's led me to do a couple of things in terms of adding on new tracks to make our operation more effective. One of those things is aligning with my friend Jack DeBean here. You all know him. You're in his store, Great American Shooting Sports. And there's a reason you're in here, because you're a patriot. Patriots go to gun shops. They go to shooting ranges. Patriots will do things the average person in this country will not do in spite of the attacks of this global criminal power structure that's been working against humanity basically all of our lives. Well, I'm going to give you an option to join a fight that we started together and we're going to finish together. Back in February last year, I sat down with David Nino Rodriguez. He wanted to show me something that he had excitement for, too busy. Wasn't interested, no time in my schedule. I've been traveling the country for 2 years, raising an army of patriots to get in a fight and fight back on this political power structure that's constantly getting in our way to our own happiness. What he showed me to get to the point of that, a pie chart, 225 companies, slices of pie, 11 of them, all the companies that the other corporations that purchased them and bought them up all own. 11 companies like Procter & Gamble, like Kraft, like Johnson & Johnson, PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, Unilever, name it. Then I saw who controls them, the three overlords, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, enemy number one, two, and three of We the People. Once I saw that, regardless how busy I was, did make a difference because I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a new warfare platform, economic warfare. We've been kicking their ass in information warfare for the last 2+ years with Patriot Street Fighter and a lot of my podcast friends around the world. We're crushing them. We've destroyed their veil of secrecy. They're now doing what they do to us out in the open because they have no choice. The second phase of my operation here at Patriot Street Fighter is to gut their cash flow, get them by the throat, shut off their blood supply, which is our money. You know how we're doing that? We identified a factory consumer direct $2.5 billion a year natural products company that's a Patriot company, was enemy number one of the Obama administration when he was in power. Now that we've aligned with them, we started a movement and we've built a many thousand person army who are fighting this way. Really simple. Stop giving your money to these killers. You want to bring them down? These multinational corporations, these chemical companies. Here's what we do in our life. I come from the wellness industry, guilty as anybody. Here's what we do. We buy all of their stuff. You take anything in your kitchen sink cupboard, your bathroom sink cupboard, your cupboards where you have food, your bathroom itself, the laundry room, start reading what you're putting in your body and on your body and on your baby's ass. Because Johnson & Johnson has been sued not once, but twice for asbestos and baby powder. Here's how we fight back. Walk away from these killer companies that produce all their research, all the literature, peer-reviewed literature showing everything they put in these products, toxins, carcinogens, neurotoxins, and poisons. And then they spend $1 billion or $1 trillion on advertising telling us why we should buy their stuff. Just like Big Pharma, contraindications for a drug that's going to do more horrible things to you than you already have going on. What do? We purchase it. Two-pronged attack. Stop giving these killers your money. We're shutting off their cash flow. Number two, we're reducing the foot traffic massively to these big box retailers like Target and Walmart. Remember, they herded all of us into it while they murdered millions of our friends' mom and pop businesses all over the country when they launched that bioweapon. That's why I'm talking about Jack Devine and my alignment with him, because he's a patriot and he knows you are too. I'm going to recommend you check out Operation Tomahawk, see what we're doing, and come and get in the fight, because there are so many things in this country people will not do. Elections, go after school board members, replace those crazy people, or work election integrity, whatever. People don't feel comfortable with those things, many of them, but there's one thing every American can do to get on this battlefield, help us win this fight. Shut off the cash flow to these killers and see how we do it. Check out Operation Tomahawk. All you do is go to switch2usa.com. Switch, the number two, usa.com, and you'll see a drop-down box. And when you see that drop-down box, here's what I want you to check. You're going to check GASS, G-A-S-S 1776, G-A-S-S 1776. Click that. Check out Operation Tomahawk, reconnect with Jack, see if you'd like to join this battlefield. This is how we take back America from these criminals. And you can also check us out on the Patriot Street Fighter podcast on Rumble, psfrumble.com. Thanks for listening to this American Patriot shooting range public service announcement. Patriot Street Fighter out.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.